Vic Allardyce, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you.
At least the line is a clear one. That is such a relief. We have had some technical and some internet issues here, which didn't make life easier. All right, just to begin, how is Australia dealing with the coronavirus? Is this a concern? Is it something that is very much at the tip of everybody, top of everybody's mind, like it is here in South Africa?
It most definitely is, and one is hearing reports, both anecdotally and in the media, Woolworths, which you have in South Africa as well, there's not a toilet roll to be seen. So there is some panic buying has set in, and the health ministers in the various states and the federal health minister are at pains to keep try to keep a lid on this. We've had the first death in this country, sadly, from the virus, from over in West Australia, which is where Perth is located. And it was a man in his late 70s, I understand, 78 years old. But it is a concern. It is the number one topic of on the news. And as I say, people are buying and buying products and toilet paper and concerns. So, but as the health minister is saying, when SARS broke out, people didn't know what it was, and it took a while, and then we got a hold of it. So we are confident that the same thing will apply here. So let us hope so.
Absolutely, absolutely right. And, you know, at least, you know, there's no doubt that with the information around today, we have, all countries, in fact, have a much better chance of dealing with it. All right, moving on to some other news. President Rivlin was in Australia. How did that visit go?
So he was here. He did everything from pet a koala. Apparently, he's an animal lover. He visited a zoo, saw kangaroos, wallabies, koalas, and all of that stuff. Moving to slightly more serious matters, he met with the prime minister, the opposition leader, the members of parliament across the board. He met with the premiers of the different states. He met with the governor general. And moving to community matters, he was the keynote speaker at what we here call UIA, IUA in South Africa, fundraising campaign, both in Sydney and in Melbourne. So he's here in Sydney, you know, 2,000 people turned out, and he was the keynote speaker. He also addressed an Australia-Israel Chamber of Commerce lunch of about 300 captains of industry. And that was a more focused presentation in terms of talking about the bilateral trade between the two countries. And then obviously the big elephant in the room, which is obviously the Malka Leifer story. Mm. And while the three sisters who are the main alleged victims who have been doing the most of the running in the media were disappointed that they did not get to meet the president, the good news is that he has given a public undertaking to do what he can to make sure that she is extradited to face justice. And he said, quote, and he told this to the media, this is a member of parliament talking to the president. I raised the issue of the extradition of Malka Leifer with President Rivlin on behalf of my constituents. And this is Josh Burns, who's a member of parliament, happens to be Jewish, and it's in his electorate that those three sisters are located. And there's a letter which Rivlin has given politicians in which he acknowledges that extradition proceedings, quote, have been undermined by Leifer's fraudulent claims of severe mental illness. Now, that's in a letter which Rivlin himself has handed out to politicians. And he has indicated to Australia's Prime Minister that he will do what he can to expedite this, and that if the court does not grant that she be extradited, that he will somehow, not that he can intervene in court systems in Israel, but he will certainly make it known that people are frustrated, that he is frustrated, and that Australia, as we've reported before, is such a strong and close ally of Israel, that this issue should not be allowed to continue to damage relations between the two countries.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's hope that that something does get done finally about that. University students newspaper blames Jews for death of Jesus and invites violence against Jewish students. I thought that whole Jews being blamed for the death of Jesus is now is very, very last couple of centuries. Did that come through to 2020?
So, well, sadly it does now. The defense, so this is University of Sydney, and there's a student newspaper, as there is on most university campuses. And their defense is that it was a satirical publication, this particular edition. It was satire. And so what it was, to put listeners into the picture, there was a cartoon supposedly, and on that cartoon were the words, "Should we get back at the Jews for what they did to our absolute boy?" Now, absolute boy is a phrase which is used, it has been used to describe, to refer to Jeremy Corbyn. It also has been used to refer to Jesus himself. And one of the leaders of Orgis, a very impressive young student, she's 20 years old, she wrote to the university newspaper editors, "So who were you referring to?" And they wrote back an abusive response, which I've cited, using four-letter words and saying it was Jesus, and then with a few swear words added on. Yeah. And so, and not only did the cartoon say, did the diagram say, "Should we get back at the Jews for what they did to Jesus?" But the response on the cartoon says, yes. So there you have Jews being accused of killing Jesus. The students say it's a satire. And not only that, but the clear message, the unambiguous message is we should get back at the Jews for killing Jesus. So just today, just 2 hours ago, one of the Orgis, Australian Union of Jewish Students leaders, and I had a meeting with one of the editors. And here's the part which always comes out. There are many editors on the paper. And who's the person who actually wrote this offensive script? The one Jewish editor.
Wow.
So we had a meet.
Ay, ay, ay.
Exactly.
Ay, ay, ay.
So we had a meeting with her and obviously without naming her, but totally rejected any suggestion whatsoever that there was anything negative in this cartoon, that people will see it as satire, et cetera, et cetera. So it's Sydney University, I have to tell you, is a place, it's the country's oldest university, magnificent, et cetera. But it's a place where Jewish kids do not walk around with a visible kippah these days. And that is, you know, not acceptable in 2020 Australia. So the issue has not ended there. We are taking it up. We have a meeting coming up with the Vice Chancellor. And we will continue to try, and while obviously one doesn't want to curtail freedom of the press, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you know what, I think,
just to try.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing how people only hide behind freedom of the press when it's about racist or anti-Semitic stuff. I mean, then it's a very, very high value. Of course, the value not inciting hate against another race or a religion or anyone or even one's own, that is not a value at all. It's only about freedom of speech. Quite incredible. Finally, we don't have a lot of time, but the Victorian government makes Holocaust studies mandatory.
So very quickly, so Victoria is the state where Melbourne is located. And just a couple of days ago, in a pit, at last, finally, and not a moment too soon, it has become mandatory now for all schools, Melbourne high schools, to educate about Holocaust studies and in modern history. And just to put that into context, New South Wales, the state where Sydney is located, our government in this state passed exactly this law 6 years ago. So for the last 6 years here in Sydney, it has been a mandatory part of modern history. And now, belatedly, but better late than never, the government in Melbourne has done the same thing.
All right. Thank you, Vic Alladeff. That is where we leave it. Great speaking to you again. That's Vic Alladeff. He is the Chief Executive Officer of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies. We speak to Vic every Tuesday at this time. It is 6:29. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning.